This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Word Becomes Flesh.
How many suffer from allergies here? Let me see your hand. No fun, right? And then you got to get up here and talk. I want to talk to you about God's Word. I want to talk to you about this book this morning. I want to tell you that there is an assault on God's Word. And I want to tell you, as Bible-believing Christians, we must hold true to God's Word. Now, I know we say that, and I know you've heard me say that, and you know that's something I believe, but I want to reinforce it in a variety of ways this morning. And in the course of doing that, I want to show you how precious God's Word is to Him. It's a gift that He has given us. He gave us the gift of Jesus. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the gift of eternal life, and He gave us the gift of this book. Not just any book. And so I want to talk to you about the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, but there's so much more I'd like to share. In the May 13th, 2017, just happened, edition of World Magazine, journalist Jamie Dean writes, quote, when new Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch heard oral arguments on the High Court for the first time in mid-April, he quickly asked a Justice Department attorney, quote, wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just followed the plain text of the statute? Why not just follow what it says? It was a good question from a justice known as an originalist. What's an originalist on the Supreme Court or an originalist judge? That means a judge aiming to follow the plain text of the law and of the Constitution as its framers originally wrote it. But as some judges consider the Constitution a living document subject to the whims and wishes of each generation, some religious leaders consider the Bible open to changing interpretations. It's not set in stone. It's not set in concrete. It's not absolute in its truth. It's not unchanging. The very word holy has in its implication that which is perfect and unchanging. This is not just an ordinary book. There's something special, something miraculous about it. During his confirmation hearing, Gorsuch told senators, quote, I leave my personal views at home. I believe you should approach the law as you find it. Jamie Dean continues to write in the article, quote, that's a good piece of advice for church leaders who have strayed from the Bible's plain teaching because they don't like it as they find it. For centuries, biblical Christianity has taught the safest place for Christians to live is within the truth of the Scriptures as the inspired Word of God. Or as Gorsuch put it regarding to the ideal approach to man-made law, quote, follow what the words on the paper say. Follow what God's Word says. This is the most controversial, most critiqued, most criticized, most scrutinized, most skewered and dissected book on the planet. This book has been viewed for centuries, looking for all the mistakes and all the errors and all the ways in which you can get around it. It hasn't just been left in its state. It's been monkeyed with on so many different levels. It's either accepted or rejected. It's either loved or despised. It's either believed or belittled. And there are a host of authorities and scholars today who say you just can't trust the Bible. Now, I don't believe that for the folks sitting here, that's the case. And I want to underline why that should not be the case. I want to say it right up front. You can trust God's Word. These people, these scholars who don't believe God's Word, write books. They hold seminars. They write blogs. They go on the Discovery Channel. They go on the Smithsonian Channel. And there they express their views that God's word is not what it is that you believe it is. They denigrate the Bible's authority in a variety of ways. They reject the virgin birth of Jesus. Do you reject the virgin birth of Jesus? They reject that Jesus was sinless. So many of them reject that he died on the cross. So many of them absolutely don't believe he rose from the dead. Well, this is pretty bad, but I think there's something even worse than all of that. And what's worse than that is some of these scholars are professors at seminaries, and they're teaching the upcoming pastors and ministers and preachers of tomorrow those same skeptical beliefs. They're coming to a pulpit near you. I think people caught what I got. It's been said you choose your scholars. In other words, the scholars you believe will determine your conclusions about the Bible. So if you are reading books by someone who is a skeptic, for example, if you're reading the Da Vinci Code, now the Da Vinci Code basically says you can't believe the Bible. It says there, everything we've ever been taught about Jesus is a lie. Now, if you continue going off in that direction, you will come to the conclusion that everything you've been taught is a lie. You either accept scholars who don't believe God's word, or you reject those scholars who don't believe God's word. And I'm saying to you outright, we as Bible-believing Christians around the world must begin to reject scholars who don't accept God's word as the inspired and preserved word of God need to stand up more now than ever that God wrote a book. You can trust the 66 books of this Bible. You can trust all 774,746 words in this book. Amen? You can trust God's word. As Bible-believing Christians, we don't add to it, and we don't take from it. Now, you can go through a lot of new translations of the Bible, and you will find whole verses missing. Verses are missing. You will find words changed. You will find verses that speak to the deity of who Jesus Christ is changed in those translations or omitted in those translations. And my question has always been to folks who accept that, does it matter? Does it matter that some verse says that Jesus is the Son of God while others don't? Does that matter? Does it matter that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ? Does that matter? Does it matter when things are missing that speak to the deity of Jesus Christ in your Bible? And the answer for me is yes. Unbelieving scholars don't reject God's word because it contradicts itself. You know why they reject it? Not because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. This book stands in people's face if you read it. And it begins right off the bat in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you are an atheist and you don't believe in God, there he is. Verse. If you're somebody who believes that God's in the planet and God's in the tree and God's in the woods and God's in the wolf and God's in the eagle and God's in the bear, in other words, it's all God and we're all God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, said that God is separate from his creation. You don't believe something that's called pantheism, that God's in the mountain and God's in the sea and God's in the eagle and God's in me. You can reject all that. And when you're confronted with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you're already on the other side. There are folks who reject the Genesis account of the Bible, don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, that the world had no beginning. What are you going to do about that? Whose scholarship are you going to follow? There are a lot of seminaries today who will not speak to Genesis account of the Bible. They take their students away from the Genesis account of the Bible because they don't want to embarrass them to believe something that, as far as they're concerned, is patently untrue. That God created the heavens and the earth, and the pattern was laid out here in the book of Genesis. You choose your scholars. I choose the scholars who believe in Genesis through Revelation. Mark Twain, you remember him. This is what he said. Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are the ones I do understand. The Bible is not another book that you as a Christian can decide to put on a shelf and choose not to read or not to study. Your time in God's Word determines the quality and character of your life as a Christian. How much time you invest in God's Word will fill your head with God's knowledge. If you invest no time in God's Word, you will get nothing out of God's Word. You must make an investment of time in reading and studying and being involved with groups that study God's Word for you to have the enlightenment that God offers you through His Word. Does that make any sense? The Bible's truths will be the light to guide you in a dark world. There are so many opinions in the world today. Some skeptical, some believing, and everything in between. What do you understand about those differences? How can you even differentiate between what you're being told that's truth and what you're being told is false? Unless you're into the Word, unless you're studying God's Word. How can you differentiate between all the voices out there? How do you know what people are telling you is the truth? This is it. This is how you determine that. So it's a light in a dark world. It's your strength when you are weak because you know the promises of God and you call upon them. It's your comfort when you sorrow, and it's your peace in times of trouble. But above all, it will reveal Jesus and His transforming truths that will change your life. This book is different than other books. Other books inform. God's Word transforms. It changes the life of the people who invest their time and their mental energies and their prayer time in studying it and memorizing its Word and meditating upon it. Meditation is not something out of some other discipline of faith. Meditation comes right out of the Bible. David continually talked about meditating on God's Word. We need to do that. The Bible is the only miracle book on the planet, and as such, it is a gift from God. That being said, I want to share some striking similarities between Jesus, the living Word of God, and the Scriptures, the written Word of God. Jesus, the living Word of God, the flesh, the world, the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us, as we'll see in a minute. So here are five similarities between Jesus and the Bible. Shows you how much prominence God places on His Word. Number one, both have two natures, a divine one and a human one. Here's that in about Jesus. John 1, verse 1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That shows us that Jesus is both God and man. He has a divine nature and a human nature when He came to earth. His human nature was to identify with us. What other God came on earth to identify with your sufferings? To identify with your pain, to identify with your emotions, to identify with your needs. No other God but Jesus came to earth. He was God, He was man. This is what it says about the Bible in that regard. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, so God breathed it, 2 Peter 1, 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible was inspired by God. There's the divine part. And then he transferred what he said into the minds of men. First, the scriptures were oral. First, they were spoken, and then they were written. So the Bible has a divine nature and a human nature. God working through man to give you this miracle book. Number two, both are either loved or hated. Now, people say, well, people really love Jesus, but they really don't like all of the teachings around Jesus. Let me tell you something. The Bible says this about Jesus. He has become a rock of offense. If you mention Jesus' name to some people, they're going to get awful offended. And you didn't say anything more than you love Jesus. You didn't say anything more than lift up his name. You hear Jesus' name being dragged through the mud on almost, I can't count how many TV programs where they take Jesus' name and use it as a profanity. Movies where Jesus' name is used as profanity. They wouldn't do that to any other religious figure, but they'd have no problem using Jesus' name as if it meant nothing. Just the name of Jesus. John 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. That's what Jesus said. And the Bible, John 17, 14. I have given them their word, and the world hates them. The world hates the word, God's written word, and it hates the Christians who carry God's written word. You want to know why people don't like Christians? It's because of this book, because of what this book teaches. Now, sometimes Christians legitimately give Jesus and give the Bible a black eye, because we say certain things that we believe. Then when the crush time comes, we don't live out those things that we believe. When it comes time to forgive, we don't do that so easy. When it comes time to pray and we say, I'm going to pray for somebody, we don't pray. When it comes time to work out our differences, we don't do that so good. So people are watching us to see if, in fact, we're leaving out the things we talk about. Because if the world needs anything in the 21st century, it's to see genuine and authentic Christians living out their faith today. This is why we're called hypocrites, because we say one thing and do something else. But guess what? Hypocrisy is the lubrication of life. Everywhere you look, you'll find hypocrisy. Amen? We're held to a higher standard. So be it. We'll never meet that standard. So be it. But we know one who has met that standard. Only Jesus alone is perfect without sin. He went through all the tests and all the trials and all the troubles, just like you and me, but he rose above it. We point to him, not to ourselves. So people will either love God's word or they'll hate God's word. Number three, both can be received or rejected. John 1:1 about Jesus says this, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus' own family members chose not to believe in him for a very long time. Do you have family in your experience? Is there family who are not believers? How do they deal with you? When you want to talk about Jesus, what do they say? You can't repeat that. Some people don't want to hear about Jesus. Jesus was rejected by his own family for a long period of time. His brothers and his sisters. Here's what it says about the Bible in John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. People don't want to hear. They will reject what God's word says. Reject the truths of God's word. Who wants to hear about sin these days? I've heard of a lot of preachers and a lot of people and standing behind a desk like this saying, I don't want to speak about hell or sin in my congregation because they'll throw me out. Well, get the hook, folks. We have no recourse but to talk about sin and to talk about hell. It's in God's word. And if we're going to be true to God's word, we're going to speak about those things. And we're going to speak about the remedy for sin, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're going to speak about the way out of hell. And that's by the love of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sin and mine himself. Fourth, both will live forever. About Jesus, here's what Micah 5:2 says. And you know a portion of this verse, but thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Two things there. One, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Check. Number two, that he had no beginning and he had no end. He lives forever. Amen. Here's what it says about the Bible in 1 Peter 1:23. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God's word will never be destroyed. Every two-bit dictator on the planet has tried to destroy this book. This book has been banned in countries based on their philosophies, based on the fact that tyrants fear it. But this book will never disappear off the face of this earth. To that I say, amen. You can't kill it. You can't bury it. You can't destroy it. The world has tried. It will continue to fail. Praise the Lord. Number five, both are the truth. Jesus said this about himself in John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. Here's what the Bible says about itself. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the truth. God's word is the truth. The living word is the truth, and the written word is the truth. If you love the Bible, you will love Jesus. He's woven throughout the scriptures, woven throughout the book. John 5:39 says this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In the final analysis, the Bible is a portrait of Jesus Christ. If you want to see Jesus, he's in here. If you want to learn about God, he's in here. Everything we know about God, everything we know about Jesus, everything we know about the Holy Spirit, eternal life and salvation and forgiveness, it's in here. You can't avoid it unless you avoid it. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. But are we listening? Here's a little bit of prose by an unknown author. I think this packs a powerful punch. Listen up. Old brother Miggins built a shelf for the family Bible to rest on itself, lest a sticky finger or a grimy thumb might injure the delicate pages some. He cautioned his children to touch it not, so it rested there with never a blot, though the Miggins tribe were a troublesome lot. His neighbor Higgins built a shelf. Come, children, he said, and help yourself. His book is old and ragged and worn, with some of the choicest pages torn where children have fingered and thumbed and read. But of the Higgins tribe, we've heard it said, each carries a Bible in their head. What place does God's word have in your life and in the life of your family and in the life of our church and in the life of our faith as Christians? Is this the core of our understanding? Is this the text of your life? If not, why not? Here's the admonition from Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says it this way, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Will you listen? Would you study? Will you meditate? Will you love? Will you accept? Will you believe? And will you trust God's word? Because God's word is the written word of God. And Jesus is the living word of God. And both want to transform your life. It'll only happen if you let them. Let's pray. We know, Lord, that you wrote a book. You inspired it, you preserved it, and we have it. We don't have to be embarrassed by that. We don't have to be ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. I pray, Lord, you'll give us a holy boldness. Lord, it's going to be real easy for us to hit this next hymn, hit the back door, and forget everything that was said this morning. Would you put something in our head to act as a trailblazer for us through the night? That we need to get serious about being in God's word, or we're going to be adrift in a world of so many opinions and so many ideas, so many conflicting beliefs. If we don't know what we believe and why we believe it, Lord, we're going to be just as lost as somebody who's lost. I pray, Father, that you will infect each person here this morning within the sound of my voice, whether it's here in this church this morning, in this meeting house, or whether it reaches the radio next week, or whether it goes on the internet around the world. I pray, Lord, that you would help Christians to really take up the text, to believe your word, to study your word, to memorize your word, to meditate on your word. Father, this are times that are too serious for us to play games or work around the edges. It's time for us to get to the heart of the matter. We're either in or all in, or we're not. Help us to be all in, we pray. Thank you for the book, Father. Thank you for the Savior above all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.